Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, just before the break, we were talking about a new piece of legislation aimed at improving school food and addressing the childhood obesity crisis in Massachusetts. You might recall that our own Adam Ragusea did some reporting on the food served in Boston public schools earlier this summer. He found a system that was bleeding money while serving lots of unhealthy, processed foods, much of it trucked in on frozen trays from a company in Philadelphia. As he worked his sources, he started to hear a lot of people in the childhood nutrition world say the same thing. If you want to see a school food program done right, check out Framingham Public Schools. Well, eventually Adam did, and this is what he found out.
It doesn't sound very nice when you put it this way, but if you want to find a real chef, follow the smell of garbage. At Framingham High School, behind the dumpsters, up the loading dock, I spot him.
How are you?
Nice to see you, chef.
Nice to meet you, man. Are you going to get the stickers we need for the labels, Diane?
Sweaty and round in a polo and jean shorts, Chef Brendan Ryan is amazingly hard at work, considering it's summer vacation.
We're getting ready right now for the summer meal program. Oh, good. All the coolers are ready.
Chef gives me a peek in his walk-in freezer.
Whoa, it's cold in here.
Yeah. These are the calzones we make from scratch.
Chef Ryan grew up in New York, his mother a school administrator, his father an old-school European chef. Ryan attended the prestigious Culinary Institute of America, cooked his way around the city, and then out west.
We make our own in-house potato chips right in here.
Tell me about that.
They are cooked in 100% canola oil. We remove French fries. The kids now, they're consuming a lot less of a processed product. They're not eating all the ketchup that's associated with the French fries.
After some years cooking in high-end hotels and restaurants, Chef Ryan landed an executive chef's gig at Harvard, where he got a little horrified by the eating habits of 18-year-olds. He came to think that somebody needed to be instilling better food values in kids while they're young. So when the opportunity arose for him to cook for Framingham schools, he took it.
Here we have four stations. We do a made-to-order burrito station. We make our own pizza in-house.
By now, you've probably figured out Chef Ryan isn't exactly serving some raw foodist vegan locavore diet here. It's still kids' food, but it's real food.
Between 70 and 75% of everything we do is from scratch.
So what were they doing here before you got here?
Pretty much 70 to 80% of everything that they did was processed foods.
Wow.
The most used piece of equipment was a box cutter.
Chicken nuggets shaped like stars and baseball hats. That's what the chef describes finding upon his arrival in Framingham.
Now I just serve a plain piece of chicken on the bone with red bliss potatoes and green beans.
He tossed out the sugary cereals, started using whole grains for all his breads and pastas, brown rice. Some of the kids balked at first, but pretty soon his participation rate skyrocketed. That is to say, kids who used to brown bag it started choosing cafeteria food instead.
Simple food. It's just called Eat Real. That's the only way I can describe it. Eat real food.
Good enough advice, but you got to figure that other schools have been turning to processed foods more and more for a reason. They're cheaper, right?
Simply doing your food and from scratch, you're going to be able to save as much money as you can. It all goes back to the commodities market.
No, he's not talking about the trading floors where they buy and sell soybean futures. The government runs a program where it buys surplus products from American agribusiness and sells them to schools at a steep discount. That's what they call commodities, stuff like meat, flour, cheese. Schools can either buy it and cook with it, or they can divert it, which basically means give the raw product to a processor in exchange for some of the resulting processed product. Plenty of schools are happy to take that second option, but they get less food for their dollar that way, so Chef Ryan never does it.
We bring everything that we can in-house and find a way to menu that item to maximize the savings on that product line.
Sounds simple, but Ryan says knowing how to utilize however many tons of yellow cornmeal or bulk turkey thighs the government dumps in his lap takes the know-how of a trained professional chef, something a lot of school systems just don't have. And fiscally, he's incredibly successful. The food operation at Framingham Schools is entirely self-sufficient. He pays all his food costs, all his employees' wages and benefits out of the money he makes selling meals to kids. It's like a real restaurant. Compare that to the seven-figure structural deficit his counterparts at Boston Public Schools have been running every year.
Hold on, go in there. I just got to check
this. Yeah, sure.
Back in his office, Chef Ryan shows me the latest plan to make his operation even more self-sufficient. He gestures out the window.
This interior courtyard at the high school is 280 by 85 feet. It's roughly half a football field.
In his hands, the chef holds a corresponding diagram showing rows of vegetables he's going to plant in the courtyard, right outside the classroom windows, safely quarantined from rabbits and vandals.
As you can see, broccoli, cauliflower, onions, eggplant, red pepper, spinach, and lettuce. The elementary schools every year are going to start growing the seedlings for all the plants. We're going to have planting days where, say, the fourth graders from each one of the elementary schools all come up to the main high school, and they plant a designated bed. The projection is basically around 10 tons of produce coming out of this facility.
What percentage of your produce needs is that going to meet?
Probably about 25%.
Wow. So you're a chef, you're a CEO, and now you're a farmer.
I guess. Well, you know, as I always say, you're a student all your life. You got to keep on pushing the envelope.
That's Chef Brendan Ryan, Food Services Director for Framingham Public Schools. His story was brought to us by Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea. And Adam, is that model at Framingham replicable at other schools?
I asked Chef Ryan if he could do the same thing in Boston, and he said it's apples and oranges, but he does basically attribute his own success to his professional training, to his experience. And, you know, a lot of the people running school food are people who came up through the ranks working in cafeterias or their management types.
So being an actual chef really helps in this case, knowing food. So hire
right,
a chef to do
one.
a chef's job.
Absolutely.
Well, does it look as if Chef Ryan is actually making it worth Framingham's time and money for him to be there?
As he balances his books, he's definitely worth it to them.
Radio Boston's Adam Ragusea, thanks so much.
You bet.
Well, finally today, we're going to check in on the legislative fight over, yes, casino gambling, because Beacon Hill leaders have been at loggerheads on that casino bill all week long. But today, peace reigned in the Commonwealth, at least for a day, because Governor Deval Patrick, House Speaker Robert DeLeo, and Senate President Therese Murray all stood side by side at Fenway Park for a bill signing that requires insurance companies to pay for autistic children. So at least they could agree on that much. Joining us now to fill us in on what happened is WBUR's business and technology reporter, Kurt Nickisch. Kurt, so what was the body language between the big three at the Fenway today?
Oh, it was pretty interesting because each of them came in at different times and they were all there. And of course, this has really been a showdown between Patrick and DeLeo, the House Speaker. And so DeLeo was already there sort of looking over his notes. And when Patrick came in, they were about 5 feet apart. And he sort of like pointed at him one of those cool little winks, acknowledgments, and they went on from there. But most of the time, they really didn't make any eye contact. The governor did praise the legislature for being so productive this session. He talked about all their accomplishments. So it was the rhetoric, at least when they were all together, was very warm.
The rhetoric says something, but the lack of eye contact says something different entirely. Did this give you any better sense as to where we are now about casino gambling? I mean, did Speaker DeLeo's body language make you think, hey, maybe he might actually take up the governor's amended bill?
I don't imagine so, just from that, because the governor has sort of made the state legislature, regardless of the words there, a little bit of a campaign rallying cry. We heard that yesterday. So after this, each of them spoke to the press separately, and DeLeo basically said that this bill is dead if it doesn't have racetrack slots. Of course, that's been his position. He stayed front to that. And then the other thing is, Murray said basically the same thing. She says she just doesn't have enough votes to bring people back.
WBUR's Kurt Nickisch at the Fenway, thank you so much for joining us today. Last thing for the moment, Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.